Are you like me and you grew up on those sorts of cartoons? You remember those as kids? This morning in this place has been a little bit like that, hasn't it? When we got up this morning, we had no electricity. When we walked in, everything was pitch dark. And 30 seconds later, the power came on. And it's stayed on for most of the time since then. But there's been lots of people running around in the background doing lots of different things. Life can be a little bit like that. We can often put ourselves in the place of the coyote trying to come up with new ideas to win, to get there in the end. Don't you just wish that one day he would come up with the right idea to actually catch that roadrunner, that the guy would catch a break and he would get a meal? But for years, I watched him come up with all of these different ideas, all of these new things, and never once did he win. We are a lot like that coyote. We search for wisdom, and we've got ideas for how that is going to come. We have people who come up with wise sayings like this: wisdom and knowledge are two different things. Knowledge becomes wisdom only after it's been put to good use. Yep. You ever known somebody who knows a lot of stuff but just doesn't know how to use it correctly? Knowledge comes from learning. Wisdom comes from living. Knowing a lot of things doesn't make us wise, does it? And then this one from Socrates: the only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing. Wise words? What is wisdom? We've had lots of people that have spoken wise words to us in the past, and yet Paul, in the time when this guy would have been, his knowledge would have been real wisdom, he's claiming, where are all these philosophers? Where is the wise person? He said, you guys have been listening to all these people who have come and spoken very eloquently in your presence and sound like they have got wise things to say because they've got new things to say. But where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? What have they got to bring to the table that actually is going to make a difference? Because it's all just hot air, what they're coming out with. Everything that they have said, everything that you have spent hours listening to, makes no difference in the end. He goes on to say this: you Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. You see, Paul is reminding people that chasing wisdom from their own culture was really just another form of stubbornness. It was foolishness. The wisdom of God has already given all the answers to their questions about life, about its meaning, about their place in the world. He did it through Jesus Christ. You see, the gospel is complete. Paul preached it with confidence, knowing that everything for salvation was contained in that gospel that he preached. Nothing new was needed. And yet the Jewish culture was fixated on needing some kind of supernatural sign before they would pay attention to anything that was being said. They were used to the prophets who were sent by God to speak to them. And the message was always a correction or a call to repentance, saying that they were headed in the wrong direction, to turn back to God, because usually they were trying to do things in their own way without God. And the prophets would authenticate the source of their messages coming from God by performing some kind of supernatural sign in their midst. If they did something that nobody else could do, then they must have been sent from God. And then they would pay attention. Well, the obvious elephant in the room is that Jesus did exactly that. And still, the Jewish leaders were hell-bent on denying that he was the Messiah sent from God. What more could Jesus have done? What more could he have done to prove to them who he was? He turned water into wine. He healed people. He even raised a man from the dead, and still the Pharisees refused to listen to him. Instead, they came up with schemes and plans to undermine him, and they came up with narratives that denied who he was. For some reason, despite the fact that all of their own history had been preparing them for Jesus, all the prophecies that they knew about were directly about Jesus. When the time came, they didn't want to know. The wisdom of God revealed in Jesus Christ was a real stumbling block for them, because he wasn't what their stubborn hearts wanted to hear. Don't be like them. Greeks, on the other hand, were different. You might have noticed that some of the wise words that we saw there were based on the Greek value for gaining knowledge. Because knowledge, when you use it correctly, becomes wisdom. And in the Greek world, a person becomes more wise than other people by knowing more than others. That's the way to higher status, the way to become more successful in life. It was to know more than other people, because if you can use that knowledge to your advantage, then you win. And it's like that in our world today too, isn't it? The more you know, the more you can earn and you move up the promotion ladder. Our greatest suspicion today is that there's stuff going on in the world that's being kept at the highest levels, secret from us. And that is not fair, because it gives those people power over us. And Paul reminds people that this constant search for knowledge will not make them any better off in eternity. God's not holding out on us. There is no more that we need to know. It's all been revealed to us in Jesus Christ. That's why Paul was so fixated on bringing them back to the gospel message of Christ crucified. That's all we need to know. Jesus, the Messiah sent from God, was crucified on a cross to pay the price for their sins. That is the confession that Peter made, on which Jesus said he would build his church. You are the Messiah sent from God. Jesus is all there is in God's great plan to save us, because Jesus is all that's needed. But that just sounds a little bit too simple, doesn't it, for some people? That just sounded foolish to the Greek, because knowing more meant being more. And there's always more knowledge out there to pursue, knowledge that nobody else knows, and getting it is how we win the game. And so I wonder, are we falling for that same lie today? Because it's a case of upside down wisdom, thinking that there is more for us to pursue is an upside down way of understanding wisdom. How did it get to be so upside down? If the message of the cross is so simple, how is it that everyone wants to complicate it and make it more than what God said it needs to be? Well, it's based on a lie that we don't need to be under God's authority. That's what Adam and Eve believed back in Genesis 3. God's holding out on you. There's stuff going on at the highest level that you don't know about. And if you do this, if you come out from under his authority, you will know as much as what he knows. And that's a lie. And it brought to us a loss of righteousness. We're now no longer, because we're in rebellion against him, we no longer qualify for relationship with a holy God. And how do we get that back? How do we get it back without having to come back under his authority? That's the thing. There must be a way. Like the coyote, we must be able to come up with something that will catch the roadrunner. Something that will get our righteousness back. And we will be on good terms with God. But don't let it be that. Don't let it be Jesus. Don't let it be him as our king. There's got to be another way. That lie also meant separation from God because of our loss of righteousness. And it makes us feel like we're on our own anyway, doesn't it? If we're separated from God, we feel like it is just us. We feel like it is up to us because spiritually in here, something has died. The connection that we have with God has died. We are spiritually dead. And whilst we're in that state, we feel like everything is left to us. We also live in a cursed environment which actually gives us a thing to fight against. We're at odds with the world. And that just feeds that whole idea that it's us versus them. It's us against the man. We're focused on our fight to win because creation has been cursed. And we experience physical death. We exist in a physical world, don't we? The things that have happened this morning are physical things that have impacted the way we are allowed to do things in this room. We exist in a physical world and we know that time is running out. And so everything that we want to do, we're looking for that secret knowledge to pursue eternity. We want to pursue getting our life back again. We are fighting to live longer. We are fighting to save the world, to turn everything back. And doesn't matter how many ways we try to do it, doesn't matter what we come up with, it's a great idea, it never works. Things are progressing in the same direction today as they were thousands of years ago. And finally, we now have to cover ourselves up because of shame. We know that if people knew the real us, that would not be good for us. We know that if they knew what was in here, if they knew what went on in here, and so we mask it. We put on personas in front of people. We make it look like we have got it together, look like we have actually got the secret knowledge to success. And then inside here, we know that we don't. You see, in verse 23, when Paul talks to us about the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, he knows that human wisdom is seeking ways to restore us without him. The foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. For us to believe that requires humility. It requires us to be honest with ourselves and with each other and with God and to say, yeah, I don't have the wisdom that is needed. I need the wisdom of God, which in effect means I need Jesus Christ. Because as Paul said, Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. He is the whole picture. He is the only story we need to know, because he is our salvation. We can rest in the knowledge that God has a plan. He has a plan that works. And he is working to bring that plan to its fruition. You see, God's wisdom is this. Over time, he has built anticipation for a Messiah. Through the prophecies, through everything that took place in the Old Testament, it has all been about Jesus. Time after time again, he has given us a hint that look out for this in your Messiah. Look out for that. Look out for what it's going to be like. Look out for what he is going to do. Look out for the fact that he is going to be different to what you're expecting. Everything has been about Jesus Christ. And God has been building anticipation for a Messiah. And then that Messiah came. He came and he performed the miraculous signs that the Jews were looking for. He spoke knowledge and taught from the word in the way that people have never experienced before, and they were dumbfounded. How can he teach with such authority? And then he turned to Peter and he said, all these people are saying I'm so many different things. Who do you say I am? And Peter said, you are the Messiah, the one sent from God. And Jesus said, that is what I'm building my church on. I'm building it on you, Peter, on your confession. That is the entire plan that people had been looking for. That is the entire plan that all of Scripture had been about. And finally, he'd come. And he said he was going to build his church. Jesus, the Messiah, will build his church. And then when he left, he said, I'm going to not leave you alone. I'm going to send my Spirit to teach you, to understand what I have taught you. And it will remind you what I have taught you. It will remind you to put it into action, to stay true to what the gospel is. Stick to the focus of what is the good thing that I have preached to you. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. That is the message of everything in this age. It's all here to turn us to see our need for Christ. Even the fact that the power goes out. When light disappears from the room, you're left with darkness. We need the light, don't we? We need Jesus so that we can see what really is going on. Isn't that the search that we are all on? Isn't that what this search for knowledge is all about? Isn't it what we've been hunting for? That the light to be able to see truly what is going on. And we suspect that people are holding out from us, but it's not God. God's not the one holding out on us. That's a lie. That is God's wisdom. See, Paul was reminding the Corinthian Christians that their salvation wasn't just a tick in a box that dealt with a distant problem so that they could get back to living their lives. He'd put his finger on what must have been a very uncomfortable sore point for them when he called out the division that was coming up in amongst them in their own church, because they were going back to business as usual, back to the ways of their culture. They'd responded to the gospel that Paul had shared with them when he lived and worked amongst them. But after a while, when Paul had moved on to continue that mission of planting churches, they'd gone back to living the way they always had because it is what they had always known. Being the church that Jesus builds involves operating to a completely different mindset. It has completely different values to the wisdom of the world. And that can be a very difficult game to play at times because, like them, we still live in a specific time and place, surrounded by a particular culture that always tries to speak into who we think we are. The critical difference between the world's wisdom and God's wisdom is that the world's wisdom is fundamentally based on a lie. The world's wisdom is based on the lie that we can do this ourselves. Right back in the beginning, when sin happened, it turned everything upside down. And since then, what looks like the way up is actually headed in completely the wrong direction. What looks like success is actually the way to lose big time. What looks like it's right because so many people agree with it is actually the wide road to destruction. And that's why Paul wrote this. I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Everything we need to know for wisdom, for life, for our place in the world, it's found in that. Knowing the real Messiah, Jesus Christ, sent from God to save us and to free us. He came to turn everything the right way up again. But so many of us are stuck chasing upside down wisdom that it makes Jesus look like the foolish choice. And so I say, don't be like the coyote. Don't be fooled by the lie that we have to keep looking for the right way to save ourselves and win. Don't get sucked in by all the voices out there claiming to have discovered the missing secret to success. True wisdom, compassion, and love are found in Jesus. And that's everything that's needed for life. God's one plan for saving you is Jesus Christ, crucified in your place, because He's the only one who can overcome your death. He's the only one who's defeated death's power over you. So stay fixed on God's wisdom. Know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified for you. Follow the true path of wisdom. Follow Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You that in Your wisdom, You have loved us. In Your wisdom, You have seen our despair. You have seen our rebellion. You have seen the unholiness that is in our hearts. And You loved us. In Your wisdom, You sent Your Son to die in our place on a cross, to pay a price that we cannot pay, and to do it in a way that overpowers all of death's hold over us. Father, we thank You for Your wisdom. We pray that You would help us to learn it. We pray that we would be reminded of it time and time again, and that we would live it and preach it. In Jesus' name, amen.